Suppose one of you has a friend, Jesus began. We'll talk about friendship, okay? Just suppose you go knocking at his door at midnight, asking for some bread to feed another friend who has just arrived from a long, tiring journey. The disciples nod together. Yeah, they're thinking, guessing where Jesus is going with this story. The friend sleeping on the floor with his family in their one-room house will get up and give him some bread, even though he might wake the baby doing so. For that is what you would expect from a friend. This so-called friend, though, won't budge. Man, he's kind of saying from inside the house, can't you see the door is locked and I can't get you anything right now? The disciples are frowning in unison, listening to Jesus' story, because they can see this guy is digging himself a hole he won't be able to get out of if he doesn't answer the door and hand over the bread. Everyone in the houses around these friends, you see, can hear the conversation escalating. It's as if they're in a campground with tents. They can hear everything. Sooner than later, everyone will be awake, willing the friend to do the honorable thing and share his bread with his friend so he can provide a meal for his friend. Everyone in this typical peasant village knows that the guy's wife baked more than enough for the evening meal that day. You see, it's because the homes are nearly touching each other and the smell of those extra loaves of bread baking in her backyard wafted through the village. I can't get you anything is far from the truth. He can give something, and eventually he does, because his friend won't give up asking him to be a true friend. There is much about this story we can't imagine. We don't live in such villages where bread is made and consumed daily, or where food is gathered from the market on a day-to-day basis. Our pantries and our freezers are full of food that will last us days, if not months. More importantly, we've been taught to take care of ourselves, that is, to be self-sufficient and ensure we don't find ourselves so shorthanded. We schedule visits from neighbors or from friends and relatives and plan carefully for their visit. It is generally thought to be unkind and disrespectful to not have bought eggs and bacon the day before our friend's arrival. We can't imagine putting ourselves in the predicament of having no bread to break with our friend when they arrive jet-lagged and hungry. Even if we were brave enough to go knocking on a friend's door to ask them to share their bread, we aren't so sure who our friends are these days. The social expectations for friendships we see in this story seem as lost to us as those dreamy neighborhoods where it was normal to go knocking on your friend's door and ask for a cup of sugar. We have been taught that it is shameful to ask for anything as simple and inexpensive as a cup of flour. What is mine and yours is yours, we believe. Nothing is held in common anymore. The legacy of our ancestors has led us to relate to each other quite differently from what Jesus is teaching in this story. We intentionally build our houses to be at a distance from other houses. Anyone knocking on our door in the middle of the night won't be heard by the house next door, let alone the conversation that ensues. No one would know if you turned someone away and refused to give them the bread they are asking for. It is in the bloodline of all of us who are descended from Europeans to keep ourselves to ourselves and to not disclose either our need or our abundance. This we have been taught. This we have learned and lived. To hold all things in common is a fearful notion. It is a fearful one for what it might demand of us. Because you see, independence and individualism are the social doctrines passed down to us by our families and our friends. Jesus tells the story of the friend who insisted on getting his friend to share 3 loaves of bread to narrate the meaning of the prayer that begins with, Father, may your name be revered as holy. The prayer rolled easily off Jesus' tongue the moment one disciple asked him to teach them to pray. This one disciple has been watching Jesus withdraw to pray many times since they all started following him. This one disciple has taken note of John's way of creating a community of followers, and he wonders what Jesus' way of prayer is for his followers. And it's really interesting to note that John's way of teaching his disciples to pray included fasting, and Jesus's doesn't. So is there a prayer that will define these followers? Is there a prayer that they can pray that will unite them, sustain and empower them to be the community that God wills them to be? Is there a prayer that will bring about the kingdom of God in all its fullness as they have begun to see in the life and ministry of Jesus? Yes, there is. And it means more than we know. The prayer we have come to call the Our Father or the Lord's Prayer really ought to be called the Us Prayer. For all the lines that we are given in this prayer that say us, for what we are to ask of the Father as us. Jesus is giving his friends a communal prayer to practice regularly to shape their worldview around a gracious Father, not a stingy, reluctant, sleepy-headed God in heaven. This is a prayer to encourage them to depend upon God for one day at a time. The food for us to share is like the manna God gave the people of Israel wandering in the wilderness. They were told to depend upon God to give them what they needed for that day and that day alone, and God did just that. They are taught to pray, the disciples, to imitate God's generosity and open-heartedness, like a kind-hearted dad of a child who asks for eggs for breakfast and fish and chips for lunch and gives her just what she asks for. So like children of a good father, we are taught to ask for food when we are hungry, to knock on God's door and our friends' doors when we are in need, and to do so at any time of the night. This prayer is a gift to us. It is a gift to us who desire to be the holy community God would like us to be. Jesus knew his disciples would struggle to be this kind of people, that we too would struggle and fail each other and fail God. So we hear in the prayer, our us prayer, forgive us as we forgive others. This is a line in the prayer that will help us to renew ourselves and to renew our faith that we can do what we pray. We can see the Father give us all we need to forgive. Because we can count on failing to be partners with God's divine purpose, which is to give when asked and to ask when in need. Truly the time of trial for us that we want to be kept from, that we pray to be kept from, is those times our faith in this teaching seems impossible to keep. We cannot be this community without this prayer. So it is a gift to us that celebrates the Father's graciousness and goodness and leads us to maintain the essential nature of community life that is meant to transform the world. The book of Acts, which is an extension of Luke's writings, bears witness to how Christ's community of disciples embraced this prayer and did their best to honor God's holy name, relate to the Father as children, depending upon him for daily needs, sharing openly with each other, and holding all things in common, and forgiving each other when they didn't. Acts 2 tells us, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. When I was preparing for this talk, I did ask myself, would I open the door if any one of you came and knocked? I'd like to say that I would. I pray this prayer to be the one in this story who didn't take too much time to answer the door. I'd like to be that one who says, yes, I have something, rather than I don't have anything. We are called to be this kind of people. We're called even to ask for what we need that isn't necessarily food, but for friendship, for forgiveness, for whatever it is that we are seeing is keeping us from life. For bread is not only just literal, but it is symbolic. We need from each other what each other has to give, which is comfort, which is food, which is from the abundance of all that we know and have and believe about God and God's goodness. This new community of Christ prayed daily, and through this repetition found themselves living out what they were praying. Our gracious and good Father delighted in giving them what they asked for and delights in doing the same for us. And the greatest gift we are to anticipate receiving from our gracious and good Father is the gift of the Holy Spirit to help us be what we pray. May we pray this together later on in the Eucharist and come to a better recognition, a deeper recognition of what it is calling us to believe and to do, and so be empowered to be ones who transform the world with acts of generosity that are very uncommon for the ways that we have been taught by our ancestors how to behave. We have been grafted into the bloodline of Jesus Christ and his family, and this blood, his blood, runs through our veins. And the blood that runs in us is a blood that says, all we have, we hold in common for the glory of God. Amen. Amen.